processing this paperwork as quickly as they could. It's in the state interest to have the paperwork processed because oftentimes these individuals are on state-only funded health care programs prior to being determined to be eligible for Medicaid. And so we would be taking over some of the state function, some of the county functions here, and in the process getting people qualified more quickly, and therefore we would have general fund savings.
Madam Chair, members, then beginning again on page 20, line 954, is an item from Senate File 1401, the carve out of dental services from managed care. Those services will now be administered by the department under fee-for-service program. That saves $10.8 million in 10-11 in the general fund and $10.7 million in the health care access fund. On line 965 is an item from Senate File 1401, limit dental services. This actually now, the language in the bill now conforms to language found in House File 961, has a few more restrictions than the original Senate language. On line 974 is to reduce improper billing for emergency ambulance trips. This was a Senate Berglund proposal as well, savings of $727 in the first biennium. On line 981 is another proposal from Senate File 1402 to reduce unnecessary ER visits with managed care withhold, saves $1.2 million in 10 and 11. On line 991 is an MA intensive medical therapy pilot project, Senator Berglund bill, saves $6,000 in 10 and 11. On line 996 is a 1% hospital inpatient rateable reduction, saves $9.4 million in the general fund and $1.8 million in, in the healthcare access fund. On line 1007 is altered 2011 inpatient hospital rebasing with the governor's delay of 3 months. The chair is also recommending an additional change to rebasing in fiscal year 12. In fiscal year 12, rebasing will begin on schedule. However, the amount to be rebased will be only 72% of the full value. And then by the end of fiscal year, beginning in fiscal year 13, the hospitals then will receive 100% value of the rebasing. On line 1015, it's governor's rec for health care provider payment delay. Chair is recommending this item. Chair also is recommending in fiscal year 13 an additional delay of moving the June payments in 13 to July for some additional tail savings. Similarly, on line 1024 is another inpatient payment delay.
Senator Pretner-Solon.
Madam Chair, could we go back to the rebasing on that 72%? Is that the 72% of the increase in the rebasing or 72%
of? They'd be getting 72% of the money that they would normally have received under rebasing. And then the following year, they'll get 100% of it.
Still, is that a 72% of the increase in the rebasing or 72% of the total payment?
72% of the total payment that otherwise would have been made to a hospital.
No, it's the portion of the.
And then, Madam Chair, members, there's another payment delay for inpatient hospital rates there. Chair is recommending a similar approach, delaying that payment and the tails as well. Then on page 22, governor recommendation to eliminate critical access dental. Chair is not recommending that item. On line 1042 is the governor's recommendation for compliance with Merck limits. And the chair is not recommending the governor's approach, but rather taking the approach from Senate File 428. On line 1047 is the governor's rec to do a rateable reduction on MA mental health inpatient payments. The chair is not recommending that item. On line 1055 is the governor's recommendation to reduce pharmacy reimbursements. The chair has accepted that item. $2.4 million in savings. On line 1062 is to require collaborative consultation for ADHD drugs. This was actually a Senate proposal, and it saves a small amount in 10 and 11 of $1,100,000. On line 1069 is another Senate proposal for e-prescribing initiative for prescription drug list adherence, and this has savings of $267,000 in 10 and 11. On line 1075 is the governor's recommendation to eliminate the rural hospital inpatient DRG enhanced payments, and the chair is not recommending that item. On line 1082 is the elimination of the DSH inpatient quarterly payments. The chair is not recommending this item as well. On line 1088 is the eliminate outreach incentive program. That is also not recommended by the chair. On line 1104 is to align medical assistant asset limits. It's also not included in the chair's recommendations. On line 1109 is the line Medicare savings program asset limits, also not included. On line 1114 is governor's recommendation for estate and homestead recovery. Chair is recommending this item for savings $2.9 million. On line 1119 is modify MA asset reduction policy. Chair is recommending this item. On line 1125 is government proposal to eliminate additional renewal notices. This has small savings. Chair's recommending for both the Healthcare Access Fund and the General Fund. On line 1134 is the governor's proposal for regulation of trusts and transfers, and the chair is recommending this item. On line 1139 is the refund of health plan reserves public share. This would take place in the tails, would bring in $49.4 million by reducing the health plan's GAMC rates by this amount in both fiscal year 12 and 13. And also, just to mention a little more detail on this, this is similar to last year's proposal where health plans who had reserves in excess of 550% risk-based capital would then a portion of that would then be recaptured. The portion in this case is right around 30% and would be recaptured through the GMC rates. On line 1144 is the governor's recommendation to reduce non-emergency medical transport. This is the broker item. This is not being recommended by the chair. On line 1149 is the reduction to special transportation rates. The chair is also not recommending this item. On line 1156 is a Senator Sharon bill, Senate file 224, which eliminates the ATS broker and provides a rate enhancement through the RUCA model. The chair is recommending this item with one difference from the bill, which is that the RUCA rate enhancement now will be half the value as it was in the bill, and it has a total savings of $4.7 million in the biennium. On line 1164 is the governor's recommendation to restructure GMC. Chair is not recommending that item. 1173, page 25, is the governor's recommendation that was a supplemental recommendation to limit growth in the MINDO program by freezing enrollment and also changes some of the rates that are paid, lowers some of the rates that are paid. And that saves $9.6 million in 10 and 11.
I can just stop you for a minute. We did get a letter from the department indicating that this reduction should probably be less than they had in their budget recommendation, but that they were not forwarding a change page on it. We have several other items that have come forward in regard to changes that are needed to be made in regard to conforming with the Stimulus Act. We are not going to recognize any more changes like that that come to us orally. We need to have change pages.
Madam Chair, members, then beginning again on page 25, line 1179, it's governor recommendation to change or reform MSOP SOS pensions. The chair is not recommending this item. On line 1186 is a SOS operating reduction due to technology supports. This was also a supplemental recommendation from the governor. Chair is recommending this item at $1.4 million in savings. 1192 is a governor's proposal for CABS as a core safety net function. The chair is not recommending this item. Is also on line 1198 is Senate file 1344, restructure Anoka Regional Treatment Center and the MITO program. One change from the original fiscal note is that the bill will have language which delays the county share on the MITO program in fiscal year 10 by 6 months. So that's why there's lower savings in the first year there.
And this is to give the counties a little bit more time for restructuring their own facility capacity to to receive people back out of the MITO program.
On line 1204, members is chair is not recommending shifting SOS dental clinics to safety net provider as a safety net provider. On line 1210, is governor recommendation to restore the MSOP growth, restore its base and to provide funds for the growth of the program. And the chair is recommending that, and it costs $12.6 million in the first biennium. On line 1216 is the elimination of the MSOP appropriation to the Department of Corrections that is used for treatment at Moose Lake and Lino Lakes. That saves $3.3 million in 10 and 11.
Madam Chair.
Senator Laurie.
I need to speak on this one just for a minute, and I think that you did a great job setting this up, and this bill is, in general, something I'm going to support moving out of here, and we did hear almost all of these proposals throughout our committee work here, but this is one we didn't hear as a bill, unless I was gone for a minute at some point, and this one kind of snuck up on me, and I would like to do some work on this. I understand that to offer an amendment and have it be considered, we'd have to find some savings, and it's a very, very difficult job, and I was not able to get through that, but I'm looking at working on this. Of course, the theory behind this is that if we can treat some of these sex offenders in prison, hopefully we can prevent them from going into our much more expensive, secure treatment facility for the civilly committed, and I think that this needs a little bit more thought. So,
thank you, Senator Laurie.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
While we're still on this page, could we go back to line 1179 in the MSOP SOS pension reform? Is that the nonviolent or the people that are working with the nonviolent? Or is I'm not familiar with the
Senator
pension.
Rosen, this was a governor's recommendation to reduce pensions and health care benefits to people that are working in our correctional facilities, and some of those workers also are found in some of our Department of Human Services facilities. And the Pension Commission had hearings on it, and they pretty much determined that it would be illegal to do this. We'd probably be sued. We probably wouldn't win. We wouldn't get the money. So I'm not recommending taking the cut.
Then, members, Madam Chair, returning to page 26, line 1221, is Governor's supplemental recommendation for intergovernmental transfer realignment, and the Chair is recommending this. It has a cost of one-time money and $2.3 million in 10 and 11. And then that concludes the Department of Human Services. I would like also to mention that on the spreadsheet that you see for federal stimulus spending, you'll see appropriation for $3.5 million for the Senator Dibble bill for runaway and homeless youth, another homeless activity. And then you'll also see an appropriation for Senator Sharon bill, which the name escapes me of the program, but that'll be included
Earth
in
Connection.
That. That's right.
Earth
Earth Connection. Screen. That's right. Okay. That concludes Earth Department Connection. Of Human Services. Now we'll move on to Department of Health. Beginning on line 1235 is the governor's recommendation for behavioral risk factor surveillance survey. The chair is not recommending this item. Chair is on the next line, 1241, is the governor's rec for e-health initiative. Chair is recommending here that this be funded, but be funded at half the level the governor recommended. And the funding for this comes out of the healthcare access fund, not the general fund, as the governor had proposed. On line 1248 is the electronic health record loan program. Chair is recommending that $2.8 million be appropriated for this out of the healthcare access fund. There's also language in the bill that requires the department to also spend money that is in their loan revolving loan account currently that has been money paid back by people who have taken out the loans to use that money first and then to access the $2.8 million from the healthcare access fund. On line 1255, chair is recommending accepting the governor's recommendation for $128,000 appropriation of the state loan repayment program. It's coming out of the healthcare access fund. Chair is not recommending the governor's governor's proposal for tuberculosis prevention and control initiative. Turning to page 27, it's governor's proposal on the statewide health improvement program. Chair is not accepting that item. On line 1275 is a proposal from the governor to eliminate a project on developing an essential benefit set. Chair's not recommending that as well. On line 1281 is colorectal cancer prevention pilot project. This is the administrative and screening money that is for this project for the Department of Health. Small cost of $334,000 in 10 and 11 one time. On line 1287 is the grant elimination proposal by the governor. This chair is recommending this item. These grants include Merck money to be sent to Olmsted County and also a pilot project in St. Louis County. On line 1294 is a local public health grants payment delay that saves one time $5.1 million in 10 and 11. On line 1300 is a grant elimination of family planning grants to the Department of Health. Chair is not recommending that item. Last line on that page, 1306, is general fund administrative reduction. Chair here is recommending a higher reduction than the governor, $2.2 million a year for a total of 4.4 in 10 and 11. On line 1312 is a series of session law corrections, just need to be adjusted, has cost of $580,000 in 10 and 11. And then, members, beginning on 1320 is a series of fee adjustments, and I'm not going to go through all the detail, I'll just mention what providers are affected. There's the occupational therapy duplicate licensing fee, hearing instrument dispensing fee increase, vital records technology improvement fee increase, adverse health events program fee increase, and then there is a non-governor recommendation here because all the previous ones were governor recommendations. This one on line 1346 is to licensing for promoting for birthing centers at the Department of Health. And just a note on here that the general fund pays for the fiscal year 10 rulemaking, which reduces the rates or the license fees that the birthing centers will have to pay on an ongoing basis. Then on page 29, line 1354 is drinking water contaminants item appropriation and a source water protection appropriation. These two items are actually, my understanding is that they're being carried in Senator Rummel's bill, which deals with the new sales tax revenue. On line 1366, we have more fee increases, well program fee increase, swimming pool inspection and plan review increase, food manager's certificate program increase, food beverage lodging increase, youth camp licensing and inspection program increase, manufactured home parks, recreational camping area fees increased, X-ray program fee increase, lead program pre-renovation fee increase, infected health worker program fee increase, environmental certification fee increase, and all of those are governor recommendations. All of them are recommended by the chair for inclusion in the bill. And then on 1434-35, you'll see Senator Solon's bill, Senate File 525, the body art licensing fee established. And that concludes the Department of Health, which brings us to page 31. Beginning on, this is the Veterans Homes Board. On 1449 is the governor's rec to maintain current service levels at the home, spending $5.2 million in the first biennium. Chair is recommending this item. Chair is not recommending the governor's request for veterans home repair and betterment and is not also recommending the Hastings Mental Health Program governor's proposal. On line 1464 is a reduction in the base of the vet's home to account for the overuse of overtime. It's $200,000 a year. On line 1469 is veterans homes residents to utilize Medicare Part D. This brings in new revenue to the homes of $536,000 in the first biennium. And then finally, on line 1475 is the Veterans Home Medicare Certification proposal. This costs $399,011, saves money in the tails. Also, there's been a change to this item from the previous language, which now gives the homes the entire year, does not set a month specific in the year that they're supposed to apply for this, but gives them the entire year in which to apply. And that then brings us to the health-related boards for a series of fee changes proposed by the governor. Beginning on line 1489 is a chiropractic board fee increase. Then continuing on page 32 is a dietetics nutrition practice fee reduction. Then on 1501, nursing board legal analyst position. This is to fund a legal analyst just for the nursing board. Costs $144,000 out of the SGSR account. Then there's also an appropriation for nursing home administrative board retirement costs. This is, chair is recommending this item, one-time costs in the first fiscal year. 1513, nursing home administrative board legal analyst that will serve the remaining, all the other boards. And that has costs, ongoing costs of $171,000 in 1011 out of the SGSR. On 1519 is the nurse, I'm sorry, 1525 is the social work board fee reduction. Veterinary medicine board fee increase. And all of these fees and appropriations proposed by the governor and the chair is recommending be accepted. And then on 1537 is the Senate position that transfers $3 million in fiscal year 10 out of the health board's SGSR fund to the general fund. And then, Madam Chair, members, turning to page 33, it's the Emergency Medical Services Board on 1549 is a transfer from the EMS board longevity award account of $11.8 million in fiscal year 10. Then on line 1556, it's the EMS board operating budget reduction. This is a Senate position. The EMS board was the only agency within this division's jurisdiction which did not have an operating budget reduction. This establishes one at the 5% level that the other smaller agencies have taken. Then you'll see on 1565, Governor Rec for Disability Council operating budget reduction. Chair is recommending this small savings. On line 1574, Ombudsman for Mental Health operating budget reduction, small savings, $150,000 first biennium. And then Ombudsperson for Families operating budget reduction, small savings there in fiscal year 10. Then on the last page, final item is from another agency. It's a transfer from the Minnesota Joint Underwriting Association in fiscal year 10 of $4.7 million. And Madam Chair, members, that concludes the walkthrough of the spreadsheet.
Are there questions? Senator Coring.
Madam Chair, when will it be in order to, if I wanted to amend the spreadsheet?
After we make a motion to accept it, you can move to amend it.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
I don't really have a question, but I have a comment. Would that be in order now?
Well, why don't we get a motion to accept the spreadsheet? Senator Sharon will make that motion. Now, Senator Olson, if you have a comment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to say that I know that this has been a really difficult year to put together a budget, and there are some specific things in this budget that I appreciate, especially on behalf of rural hospitals and rural health care, because, as you know, we've been talking to you a lot about our concerns and the impact of the governor's budget proposals there, and I know you've been listening very closely to our hospital administrators and others about some of their concerns. The DRG proposal the governor had, the DISH quarterly payment proposal the governor had, the elimination of critical care, dental care, and dental care for adults, period. The elimination of a lot of the safety net programs that we really depend on. Of course, there are cuts in this bill that none of us want to see. But the fact that you did such a careful and thoughtful analysis and really hung on to those things that are so important to us, something we really appreciate.
Thank you, Senator Olson. And thank you for your work on the division. Other comments or questions? Senator Coring, do you have an amendment?
I do.
Your amendment would be in order.
Okay. Madam Chair and committee members, actually on page on page 25, line 11.
If you could talk about it on the spreadsheet.
I am on the spreadsheet.
Okay.
On page 25 of the spreadsheet. Okay. The CABS core safety net function, line 1192. I'd actually like to have the governor's recommendation put into the Senate column. And well, then
Senator Coring, are you going to pay for it?
Yes, and okay. I'll explain that after I explain this. Mm-hmm. I want to have the governor's recommendations be the Senate position on line 1192 and then 1204, the dental clinics safety net, line 1204, have the governor's recommendation be the Senate recommendation, and I would pay for it out of page 13 of the spreadsheet, out of line 611, the delay of mental health services. And if you actually look at our budget book and read it, none of this money has been or none of this stuff has been implemented yet. So we actually are hurting nobody by taking the money from the new mental health services delay payments and move it over to what I wanted to take it. Does that make sense?
Okay, your motion is in order, Senator Coring. I would speak against your motion. I believe that even though all of these new mental health grants haven't been awarded, that it was a commitment we made to increase services in the community mental health programs. And it was a commitment we made to the mental health community, people with mental illness, and to the counties. And I believe it's a commitment that we should keep.
And Madam Chair.
And I would say this also, that services that are provided through state-operated services, if we're going to start moving all those services into the general fund instead of having them operate like other private businesses do with their Medicaid revenues, we're on a very slippery slope in the terms of the future, in terms of the spending, and in terms of the uncompetitive advantage that state-operated services would have over our private sector Medicaid providers.
Madam Chair.
Senator Prettner-Solin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Coring, could you speak to why you would want to include these proposals?
Well, I think that we're actually hurting. If you look at the governor's recommendation, those are actually people that we would be hurting, that would be affected by this budget. And I'm just using money that we haven't even spent yet to help people that would have an effect where we haven't even spent the grant money. So I'm trying to help people that need services now, and we're not affecting anybody. Nobody would be affected by this. Does that make sense?
No, Senator Prettner-Solin.
Senator Coring, actually, no. I'd like to know why they need services now. I think we provided for them in other areas of the budget, and that's why I was wondering why they need these additional services.
Just to clarify, today the CABS program is funded through the Enterprise Fund. The state-operated dental services are eligible to be an essential community provider under our enhanced dental payments, just like a dentist in your community would be if they're taking medical assistance patients in a large number. So they are paid for through the existing base budget. What they would like is to have more money than they get now through an additional appropriation.
So you're, Madam Chair, so you're saying that the people that are being served now, they'll be continued to be able to be served?
Yes, we're not
like in Wilmer.
We're not cutting those. We're not cutting those programs mm-hmm. in the budget. They would continue to be served as they have previously been served. Any further discussion on the motion, Senator Rosen?
Oh,
on the motion.
On the motion, Madam Chair, can you explain the statewide health improvement dollars? I see you didn't take the governor's recs, but so they stand now at, what is it, for 2 years?
Senator Rosen, if you can just hold that question. We have a motion by Senator Coring on the table.
Oh, that motion. I'm sorry.
And that's the motion that we're trying to discuss right now. Any further discussion? Senator Olson.
Well, Madam Chair, I would just remind the committee why we put the additional money into mental health services, because of their chronic underfunding and the difficulties that mental health services were having at that point, and that's why we really made that an emphasis to try to find some additional money there, because there was a very significant need. And I think the planning has been based, as Senator Berglund said, on making that commitment. So, again, this was an area where we really saw a significant need.
Madam Chair, can I ask another question to the Chair?
Senator Coring.
Madam Chair, if this gets, if we vote, well, when we vote on this, and if it fails, then does the Senate have a position of no on this, and let's say the House has a position of yes, then we go into conference committee as having a no from the full budget division on this, correct?
Senator Coring, if your motion fails, then the recommendations of the chair would still be before the committee. If they are adopted, then when we go into conference committee, we would negotiate any differences just like we would on all the items in the spreadsheet.
But let's say, Madam Chair, hypothetically, that the House had the governor's recommendations on these two things that I'm trying to restore the funding for, and we had a vote in here of being opposed to it. Would the conference, the Senate conferees, be advocating a no on that?
Well, Senator Coring, we would be trying to uphold our position on all the items, but obviously you have to compromise
right, in
order to get a conference committee report done. Any further discussion on the motion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion is not adopted. Any further discussion? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I could go back, I actually have two questions. The one is on the State Health Improvement Program on line 1268. So if I could be refreshed at then where are those SHIP dollars, what they stand at currently then, since we did not accept the governor's recommendations.
I am recommending that we not accept the governor's recommendation on this, that we continue to fund it as we had originally planned to fund it. If you have seen, we've had a huge response to the RFP that went out from all over the state. And so, in my opinion, to reduce the number of grants that we can award at this point in time would be a mistake. We have a lot of counties out there that have planned and have submitted very good proposals. Many of the proposals are joint proposals among counties, and I believe we would be well served to move ahead with this. Furthermore, I would say that if we were going to accept the governor's recommendation to reduce this level of funding, all it would do under the chair's recommendation is to leave that money sitting in the healthcare access fund.
So, Madam Chair and Council, can you refresh what that funding, what we based it off of last year? Was it $45 million for 2 years? $25
million? Mr. Godfrey.
Madam Chair, Senator Rosen, my recollection is that it was for fiscal year 10, $20 million from the Healthcare Access Fund, and then fiscal year 11, $27 million, with some money to be used for administration over at the Department of Health.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. If you don't mind, I have another question.
Yes, Senator Rosen.
I couldn't agree with you more on the health, the SHIP program. I think it's a wonderful use of that dollar, those dollars, and I think it should maintain. But on page 31, when we are talking about the Hastings on line 1459, the Hastings Mental Health Program, is that something that can be if we don't give them an increase? Can be spread across to all the other homes. So we didn't give them an increase. Is there a way for them to
Senator
spread
Rosen,
those costs?
I have nothing against this program, but the governor was requesting, and we did fund a large increase for the veterans' homes in general, a on line 1449, whereas all the other programs in the state, long-term care across the board is taking reductions. And so I just felt like asking for additional money above what was requested on line 1449 was something we could not handle. So if they want to fund this out of the resources that we would be giving them, I have no objection to it.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Members, then I'd like to just take a few minutes, hopefully not too long, because we do need to adjourn or recess, whatever the case may be, at 11:30. But I would like to take a few minutes to see if there's any testimony on the chair's recommendation before we vote on it. Well, I appreciate the recognition of the hard job we had to do. Yes.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Ed Sheehy from UCARE. And I would just like to specifically speak to the line item dealing with the MINDA program, Minnesota Disability Health Options. And I noted in the comments from Mr. Godfrey and yourself that apparently DHS has issued a letter saying that the reductions in the MINDO program could be less than what's included, what we see here in this, but they have not submitted a budget change page. And, this is a very important program for over 1,300 people with disabilities. And so at this point, I think it's very important that DHS be encouraged and asked to actually submit that budget page so that we can, have the right numbers in here. So I would just ask if the committee would ask for that letter and
Thank
budget
you.
Page.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? In fact, I had hoped at one point in time before we got news that we had erroneous fiscal notes to not do the first year in order to make that adjustment. I just wasn't able to do it. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Any other testimony?
Madam Chair, members, Sue Abderholden, NAMI, Minnesota, and just on behalf of the Mental Health Legislative Network, I just want to say thank you.
You're very welcome.
Senator Berglund, members, on behalf of Sue Stout, on behalf of the Minnesota Hospital Association, I'd like to say thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, everyone, don't feel like you have to come up here to say thank you. You can tell us thank you on our other time, okay? Any other testimony?
Senator Berglund, on behalf of the veterans organizations, I want to thank you and your committee for the hard work you've done in helping us in our veterans home and the veterans affairs funding for the next few years. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Can you just give us your name for the record?
John Cox, the American Legion Legislative Chairman for the state of Minnesota.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cox. Any other testimony? If not, then we'll vote on the motion to adopt the spreadsheet. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The spreadsheet is adopted. Then we will go on to, do we have language?
Is that it over there?
It's sitting over there.
Yes. Okay. Yes, we can pass the language out. No, only.
Is there a voting against the question?
this is a little bit twist because the federal money does not, this is the state money does not go to this program. It goes to another program.
Anyone can accuse you of doing anything
wrong.
So
without a lot of thought.
Thanks, Tommy.
The federal money can't go to nurses that are practicing in hospitals.
Are we going to read through this?
Listen to this.
She's listened to us.
He's going to go back to law school. I think he should take the bar.
Okay. Senator Lynch, would you like to move adoption of the SCS 0695A2 amendment?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Okay. And then
we have Senate file 6, what is it, 695?
Yes, I have amendments, Mr. Chairman. First, let's start with the KC0018 amendment.
KC0018. Is this the A2 amendment? Do we need to adopt this first?
These are amendments to the amendment.
Okay.
So I would move adoption of this 18 amendment.
Senator Berglund moves adoption.
It's being passed out, I'll just explain that this is our attempt to fold in Senator Vanderveer's bill into this. We would be using the stimulus loan repayment program money as a priority for areas of pediatric psychiatry or mental health. The federal funds are not allowed to be used for providers who are in a hospital unit, and so we're just amending our state law in regard to that so that in the future that would be an area that would be available for loan forgiveness state money.
Any questions of members on the KC-18 amendment? Seeing none, Senator Berglund renews her motion that on the KC-18 amendment. All those in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Motion prevails.
And then, Mr. Chairman, I have a KC-0001 amendment.
On the KC-001 amendment as it's being distributed, Senator Berglund.
This clarifies that medical assistance covers prescription drugs that are prescribed by a physician assistant who is employed by or under contract with a community health board for the purposes of communicable disease control. Has no fiscal impact.
On the KC-0001 amendment, any questions from members? Seeing none, Senator Berglund renews her motion on the KC-0001 amendment. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
The next amendment is a KC-0008 amendment.
On the KC-0008 amendment as it's being distributed, Senator Berglund.
This amendment would allow health plan companies to use and report additional health plan companies specific quality and outcome measures for services that are not measured by the standardized quality measurement process. The amendment contains changes that were suggested by the Minnesota Department of Health that would allow the health plan company specific quality outcome measures to exist for 2 years. The idea here is to have them be reporting their quality initiatives to the Department of Health, and for the Department of Health then during that period of time to be getting a statewide standard for physician areas where we don't have quality outcome standards today.
Senator Berglund, is there fiscal implications
no.
to this one?
Madam Chair.
Senator Prettner-Solon.
Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, is there a requirement? I'm just seeing this for the first time, but is there a requirement that these be, I can't even think of the words I want to use, standards of care, that they be proven measures that they're...
Yes, that's what they would be using, but today the law would not allow them to use them, only to use ones that have been adopted by the state, and there are some physician areas where there are not ones that have been adopted by the state, so this would just give them a 2-year window to continue using the ones they are using, submit them to the department, and then get a statewide standard established.
Any other questions on the KC-0008 amendment? Senator Erickson-Rhodes.
Mr. Chair, and Senator Berglund, this is the first time we're seeing this, so I'm just trying to digest it as we're reading through here. It seems that this is really a healthcare policy piece that we should have some considerable discussion about, perhaps even testimony.
If you would like to take testimony, I have no objection.
Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to offer testimony? Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Julie Bruner. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Council of Health Plans. I'm reading this language actually for the first time as well. My understanding is that given the structure that was established in the reform legislation last year and the prohibition that is placed on plans using measures that are not included in sort of the set that's going to be published, we identified a problem in being able to develop new measures, especially in the specialty area. Those measures are not out there and robust and generally used. And so what we were seeking was authority to develop new measures and use some of the specific measures that the plans are using to try to bring forward sort of new standards and measurement. The plan has always been that those would be forwarded to community measurement and looked at, and when they are a similar standard across the industry, they're adopted.
Senator Prettner-Solon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Bruner, I think you understand my perspective is that I hate to see people practicing medicine unless they are the providers who are working with the patient. And so my concern is that these be well-researched, that that they're just not saying, well, this is what we want you to do to comply, but they actually have some research backing behind them and do promote better health care.
Mr. Chair and Senator Prettner-Solon, I think that the plans are always looking at the science behind it, trying to make sure that they're moving toward improving care and providing the right care at the right time. I think that's the principle behind the agreement that it then goes to community measurement, where it's looked to see, is this a community-wide standard that should be now collected and reported generally.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm just also going to say from the standpoint of a significant policy discussion, there are multiple stakeholders involved in making these kinds of decisions. You know, someone speaking on behalf of the patients, someone speaking on behalf of the plans, someone speaking on behalf of the medical community. And so just putting all of the decision-making authority in the hands of the plans without the opportunity for that kind of a longer discussion with notice and that type of thing is giving me some hesitation about this.
It does appear we have some other individuals who'd like to testify, but Ms. Bruner?
Mr. Chair and Senator Olson, the way new measures are developed now is that generally individual plans do the work, do the research, and test out new measures. That's how measures are developed. And they're done in consultation with providers, and that's how the measurement process is pushed forward now. It's a great deal of pressure on everyone in the healthcare system, as you know, including you, to accelerate the improvement and care, especially in the area of specialty care, and to address the issue of costs. The process that the legislature put in place last session provides for these measures, if they're tested, to go into that public discussion. And as I recall the framework of last year's legislation, there will be an opportunity to bring these forward, and then they will be considered by multi-stakeholders to decide should this be a community standard that should be measured in the same way and reported in the same way. And so I think I don't think we're deviating from that. But the concern that we had was the way the law was being interpreted, there was no capacity for the plans to continue trying to look at new measures. And there's a great deal of need to develop new measures. The kinds of things that the plans did a few years ago in the area of radiology, trying to push forward to try to bring more management into those costs, has generated millions of dollars in savings. And so those are the kinds of things we're looking for. It's not to step away and not have a community review of this when it's to be adopted and reported everywhere. But this stifles innovation if the plans can't try to develop new measures.
Senator Olson, did you have follow-ups? You had hand up earlier. Pretner Solon has questions as well. Senator Pretner Solon.
Mr. Chair, my only comment is I would just say I'm not convinced. You know, we heard a lot of testimony in other committees from the medical community about the lack of even under our present system, the lack of agreement with some of the standards developed by the health plans. And yet at the same time, I know there are some standards that have proven helpful. So it's not that I'm I just think this kind of a one-sided ability to do this is concerning to me.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Olson, at least we're only allowing it for 2 years so that the health department can bring it in and do the process that they would do to have a uniform standard for everyone.
Senator Pretner Solon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Ms. Bruner, I would differ with you in some respects. I'm not unconvinced that this isn't a good practice. I think this needs to occur, but I really don't like the plans just making a mandate. Mm-hmm. I think that really the providers develop the protocols for care. They do some comparisons. They write it up in the journal, and that research is accepted eventually as best practice. And I could see the plans adopting some of those best practices, but I don't want the plans just putting in cost-effective measures without taking into the science behind the practices, and that would be my concern.
I do see that some other members of the audience would like to offer some testimony on this as well.
This isn't going very well, is it?
Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
Thank you, members of the committee. Sarah Nosneski with the Minnesota Medical Association. We actually oppose the amendment. This is a deviation from the intent, or our understanding, I should say, of the intent of the legislation last year. The legislation last year was intended to create some administrative simplification, streamline the quality reporting and pay for performance process for physicians and for providers in the community. Currently, the health care reform legislation that was passed last year and the way it's being approached still allows the plans to develop new measures. They just can't use them for pay for performance unless they meet the state standards. So we would oppose the amendment. I hear a lot from the health plans about they do a lot under the auspice of innovation, and we don't begrudge them the need to innovate. However, the intent last year was to streamline and to simplify, and this seems to us a runaround from that process, so we would oppose the amendment. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw the amendment. Maybe people can work on it some more and it can be offered somewhere else.
Thank you, Senator Berglund. You have additional amendments?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to offer the KC-0010 amendment.
On the KC-0010 amendment while it's being distributed. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and members, this amendment is from the Board of Pharmacy. It makes modifications to the NASPR legislation to include Schedule 4 controlled substances and provides more flexibility in the law for the use of a vendor. This is necessary in order to be able to proceed with the application for the NASPR federal funds and to implement the NASPR program.
On the KC-0010 amendment, questions of members? Seeing none, Senator Berglund moves the adoption of the KC-0010. Oh, it hasn't been fully distributed yet. Any questions of members? Seeing none, Senator Berglund renews her motion that KC-0010 be adopted. All those in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, then I'd like to move the KC-0015 amendment.
On the KC-0015 amendment as it's being distributed, Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and members, this is a request that came just late to me yesterday. It is an amendment that would allow the health plans to have their health maintenance organizations sell reinsurance to the other books of business within their organizations. As I understand it today, they have reserves and parts of their business, but they have to go out and buy reinsurance on the private market. They would like to use the reserves that they have in one area of their business to be able to sell themselves reinsurance for the other part of their business. I personally, myself, think the reserve should follow the person. You know, when we pay our premiums, we create these reserves. And when we leave one company and go with another company, that company we left has kept the reserves that they've generated off of our premiums. But we don't have a law like that. This law at least would allow the companies to use their reserves to cover the books of business that they have between parts of their business.
Madam Chair?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair.
It's okay.
Does this have something to do with ERISA, where they're managing between management of ERISA types of plans and then selling reinsurance to those plans?
No. Mr. Chairman and Senator Olson, my understanding is that the plans have reserves, as we have seen in the spreadsheet, in their HMO book of business. They have other lines of business that they're where they're selling insurance where they don't have reserves, and so therefore they have to go buy reinsurance in the private marketplace. This would simply allow them to be able to provide their own reinsurance through the reserves that they have within their company that are not being used.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Olson.
Well, again, Madam Chair, or Senator Berglund, I hesitate about this because I don't feel like I understand it well enough. It seems like there was probably a reason to begin with why we would have had that kind of prohibition. I'm not sure what it would be or, you know, what the implications of all of this would be as far as you know, potential conflicts of interest, or I don't know, maybe it's a good idea or not. I'm not sure, but again, I feel like there's potentially some significant ramifications to this, and when it comes, like, at the end here in the form of an amendment, that concerns me.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Olson, I don't believe there's anything sinister involved in this. I think it's a very straightforward proposition of clarifying the law. I don't believe this really is prohibited in the law today, but people are reluctant to try to do this because there is no clarity in the law. And so if you are a company and you have excess reserves in your HMO line of business, instead of having to go out and purchase reinsurance on the private market for another part of your business, you would be able to do your own reinsurance out of the reserves excess reserves you already have within your company. And it seems to me that that is a reasonable thing to allow our Minnesota companies to do.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Pretner, so on.
Senator Berglund, my only question is, and I admit I don't know that much about this, but if there are excess reserves, why are they not being managed so that there's lower health care costs? Mm-hmm. Why are they accumulating excess reserves that could be used for reinsurance?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Pretnersol, and my understanding is that it has to do with changes in the marketplace where fewer people are choosing to buy HMO-type coverage and more individuals and businesses are choosing to buy other lines of coverage, and they can't just take reserves that are in one line of their business and transfer them to another line of their business. This amendment doesn't allow them to transfer the reserves either, but it does allow them to use the reserves to sell themselves the reinsurance that they otherwise would purchase out in the private marketplace. And it seems to me that that would lower health care costs because if they're purchasing the reserves in the private marketplace, that cost has to be built into the premiums for people that are purchasing in that other line of business.
Senator Erickson-Robes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a general comment, and Senator Berglund, I know you said at the beginning, it's just this idea just came in yesterday. And when we're looking at policy pieces and only have a few minutes to digest what is written on the page and then try to understand the topic, and I'm not real skilled in insurance, and it seems like if this had been a bill dropped in at the beginning of session, would have had to gone through Commerce and other committees. You know, it just seems like the wrong place to be discussing policy pieces at the very end of a gigantic bill we've been working on all session. I just respectfully would request you to withdraw this amendment as well.
Senator Berglund.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't know of anybody that's opposed to this amendment. I think it's a reasonable thing to do, so I'd like to proceed with the amendment.
Any other questions of members?
Could you want to ask if there's anybody who would like to testify?
Senator,
to
sure.
This? Oh,
is there anyone in the audience who would like to offer testimony, either in support or in opposition? Seeing none, Senator Berglund renews her motion that the KC-0015 amendment be adopted. On that motion, all those in favor, aye.
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 All those opposed?
Aye.
Motion prevails. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, that concludes the amendments that I have for the bill. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Chairman. We do have an A3 amendment, which is the appropriations section to the bill.
Is that being distributed?
It's going to be distributed.
A3.
And I might indicate that all of the blank appropriations are not filled in, and so as a part of this amendment, I would direct the staff to fill in the appropriations based on the spreadsheet we've adopted.
Madam Chair, we would also need permission to fill in a few riders and correct some errors in some riders on the spreadsheet.
I would incorporate that into my amendment.
Chairman. Senator Coring.
Chairman, Senator Berglund, so the you're saying this is the appropriations menu, amendment. So this is where the money is coming from to pay for the bill? Why don't you explain this?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Coring, we need to actually have language that appropriates the money. We can't just have a spreadsheet.
Right.
But we've adopted a spreadsheet, and so they would fill in the blanks in this article based on the numbers that are in the spreadsheet.
And so, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Coring.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, so the only thing that in this amendment and in the language, then there's fee increases to various Board of Veterinary Medicine.
There's some increases and some decreases.
Right.
Those would be included in this appropriation article.
But there's no...
Senator Coring.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund. So, like, in 2003, we had the cigarette fee. There's no revenue-generating stuff in this bill, correct?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, there's no taxes. The only revenue-generating fees are in the spreadsheet that we've already gone through and adopted.
Okay. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Berglund, I do have a question on the spreadsheet and on the amendment on page 34, line 20, the EMS Longevity Award and Incentive Program. We're hitting EMS about $12 million. And what is that program and award? And then we have a fee increase on top of that.
Senator Berglund.
Right. Mr. Chairman and Senator Rosen, there's no fee increase in that area. There is surplus funds in the account.
You're right.
These are all general fund monies that have been generated out of appropriations in past legislative sessions, and we're recapturing those. In addition, there is a 5% operating reduction to the agency. For some reason, the governor omitted that. I believe it was an oversight because there are 5% operating reductions to all other small agencies in our budget. And that's the only thing that is in this bill. They have a standing appropriation in the base law of how much per biennium?
Madam Chair, members, I believe it's $700,000 a year, yes. $1.4 million to cover the payment of these longevity awards, and any amount that they have left over from that year's payments goes into the longevity award count for future payments.
Okay. And Senator Rosen, just so you sleep well at night, they aren't using the $700,000 each year to make the longevity awards. We have not cut the base appropriation in this bill, however.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
I will remind members I did have a bill heard earlier in the session to anticipating the need to utilize these funds to balance our budget. I was proposing to take about 20% of this and invest it into things that would help with recruitment and retention and build the system that would carry forward, but those are not in the bill. I mean, we struggled very hard to put together a bill, and it's Senator Coring.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So is this what we've referred to in the past as the Cooper Sams?
Yes, Senator Coring, this is the Cooper Sams. Any other questions of members? Any other questions of members? Seeing none, Senator Berglund renews her motion that the A3 amendment be adopted. On that motion, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
And then, Mr. Chairman, I would move that the staff be directed to include language in the amendment that would accomplish what we have in the tracking sheet regarding the fraud prevention. That language has not been incorporated yet, but we need to have it incorporated.
And that's a motion that the staff be instructed?
Yes.
On that motion, any questions of members? Seeing none, on Senator Berglund's motion, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Okay, now I believe that we've completed all the amendments that I have, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Berglund, I have a question on one at one area in the bill. It's on page 253. And it has to do with the broker dispatching. And we've had a lot of discussion on this in the previous months. And so I want to be clear. I believe what is happening in this bill is that the broker dispatching is being prohibited, but the broker is not being eliminated in this bill. And so I'm confirming that that is what we are doing. And I would like to continue quickly, if there is such a term in this arena, working on, I think we can do more in that area. I think we can do more in that area, and I am committed to continuing to work on this area in the next few days and weeks.
Senator Berglund, responses?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Lynch, I'm open. As I said, this is still more than usual a work in progress, and we are looking for additional fiscal notes on things that we've given to the department and additional potential savings that might be forthcoming. And when we get those, then we would be trying to incorporate it into the bill and softening up some of the other parts of the bill that we, or we need a little more sugar for the lemonade.
Other questions of members?
What are comments?
Mr. Chair.
Questions and comments.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, what's the process? Are we not going to go through any of the language of the bill? Because we don't even have, and I realize that staff has been up against it, but we don't have a summary. I realize we went through the spreadsheet, but there's a lot of language in here, too. And I know that there was one part in particular that Mr. Godfrey pointed out that said that's all just new language. And so I'm wondering, we're not planning on going through any of the language in the bill that we were.
I believe we now have the A2 amendment in front of us with all of the
I'm sorry,
amendments.
I thought we adopted that.
Did we adopt? We didn't.
No,
we never did adopt the A2 amendment. So
we adopted the amendments to the amendment. Yeah.
Adopted the amendments to the amendments,
oh.
And we now have the A2 in the shape the author's hoping to carry it in before us. So we're on the A2 amendment as amended.
Well, then, Mr. Chair, that would kind of be my same question.
Yeah.
Although I called it a bill as opposed to amendment. Because
Senator Fischbach, your question is still relevant, so I would ask Senator Berglund what our intentions are in the next minutes and days and
weeks and.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the staff can go through this if you want to sit here and do that. But I can assure you that there is nothing in here that we haven't either got on the spreadsheet or that we have heard in the division as a cost-saving idea that we haven't gotten a fiscal note on yet. So there should be no surprises here. But if you want to go through it, page by page, we can do that.
Maybe I would ask council how long it would take to do that, just for members' information.
Oh, an hour?
About an hour.
About an hour?
Or
Senator Prettner-Solon.
Or Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, if we could even take some time to recess and look at it and then come back, would that be possible?
We have another hour now if we need it. But we do not have time later because we'll be busy taking up the tax bill on the floor of the Senate.
I thought we were going at 11:30. They changed the start time.
Senator Sharon.
Yes. What the plan is now is that they will go into recess for caucus after they've had 34 members punch in upstairs.
So we'd be missing caucus members.
Well, unless they need us to get the 34, I don't know. So, Mr. Chairman, it's up to you, whatever.
Well, I mean, I'm going, it's your motion, Senator Berglund.
Right,
and
I've made the motion. If you want to go through this
page by page,
we can do that.
Mr. Chair.
Ask members their preference. Senator Lynch, Senator Sharon, Senator
Fishbach, I'll wish to comment on this.
Well,
Senator Lynch.
Mr. Chair, just some, here's my free advice. I think the spreadsheet is a pretty good summary of what's contained in this 300-page document. And I think that it might be helpful, as I did with the broker provision. If there are questions that are, you know, on the spreadsheet, we can ask those, and that might be the most expeditious method to proceed with, in my opinion.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, there are two riders that have not been in the bill previously that maybe we should point them out. It's in the A3 amendment.
If we have an hour, I think we should probably take that hour to discuss what's happening here. But I would just as soon do it with members bringing up specific questions they might have. I do think that we did a pretty good job covering what's in this bill, going through the spreadsheet. And I personally believe it would be a better use of our time to go with specific questions rather than asking Senate counsel to step us through the language. I would like to take this hour to make sure that we all have as good a comfort level as we're going to have. That would be my preference, and I'd ask members for additional free advice, as Senator Lynch mentioned. Senator Olson. Free?
Mr. Chair, just for clarification, I'm wondering if that means we're going to miss the opportunity when we have our caucus to talk about and hear a description of the tax bill, because I really don't want to miss that since we're going to have to vote on that today. And I guess what I'm wondering is if that is the case, then I would prefer, you know, that we have some chance to absorb this and
Senator Olson, we're not going to come back later in the day. Once we take the tax bill up on the floor, we're not going to be able to get back together as a committee and meet our deadlines to get this done. We have this hour or so available to us now while we caucus. We can either decide to try to move the motion on the A2 amendment and have it adopted and move on and go to our respective caucuses to hear about the tax bill, or we can take this hour or so to discuss the Health and Human Services bill in this division. Those are really the two options we have before us in order to meet deadlines and move forward, as I see it. Senator Berglund.
So, Mr. Chairman, just to be clear here, in the A3 amendment, which has been incorporated into the A2 amendment on page 2, the language beginning on line 2.3 and going through 2.28 is new language, and it limits the amount of transfers that may be made by the Department of Human Services within their systems account to $1 million. And if they needed to transfer money between their accounts in a greater amount than that, they would have to ask for approval of the legislature. And this is new language. It's in here because I guess many of us feel like we just don't have enough of a handle on that systems account and how that money has gotten, such large amounts of money have gotten into parts of it to be used without authorization by the legislature in the past. So that's new language. And it requires approval for any system that would replace Health Match, so that we are clear and understand what that would be and what the expectations are for that in the future. So that is new language. Other than that, I'm not really aware of anything. There is language in here. Since we were not able to get a fiscal note on the concept of limiting our contracts with a high-cost, low-quality providers, there's language in here that says the department will, upon implementing that, come up with a fiscal note on what the savings would be and use that money in their budget to buy out rateable reductions that otherwise are in this bill. And that's a little different than the language we had when it was before the committee, because at that time we thought we could get a fiscal note on it.
That's about the only language in all of these amendments that was not covered on the spreadsheets, is what you're telling us.
Senator Coring.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just ready. You know what? It's I think the decision is up to the chair, and it's up to you, whatever you want to do.
If members have questions, is my point. I'm not going to shut down the questions of members so that we can go to our caucus. We have a job here.
I, for one, am, Mr. Chairman,
you're
I'm
ready
not
going to vote.
Sit here and go all the way through it. I need to be briefed on a tax bill. I feel comfortable, personally, that there's nothing stuck in here that's going to surprise anybody. So,
any other questions of members?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, I did not intend for a page-by-page painful explanation of the bill. Since we don't have a summary, I just thought it might be helpful, but I understand that folks have other things they want to do. So then I would just ask, are we going to take amendments to it now that Senator Berglund has finished?
We have the A2 amendment in front of us. Amendments are proper. I'm going to take questions and comments from members here for a while and amendments. They are proper. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do have a question and a comment. And I'd like to first say that, Senator, no one has had a more open-door policy than Senator Berglund on this bill. And I think you've done a very good job, Senator Berglund, on incorporating many ideas and listening to people and trying to find cost savings. And if I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. You were trying how hard you worked on this. I do, and perhaps that attitude does not really reflect on my vote on this bill. There's various reasons that I will be voting no for the bill at its current form right now. And one is on the nursing home situation. So my question is on page 92. Lines subdivision 61 on line 29, and do we know how many care centers are going to be having a cut, and what's their minimum and maximum cut they're going to be having with the nursing homes?
Senator Berglund, page 92, you said, Senator Rose.
Chair, yep. I defer to the staff that's been working on this idea.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr.
Senator Rosen, you're talking about Section 62. The rate adjustment would apply to the 36% of facilities that have the highest rates within their facility type and geographic peer group. So
excluding the Rule 80s and the facilities that are caring for the high-cost patients.
Mr. Chair, and Senator Berglund, that still doesn't give me an idea, because I don't know where those rates are out, in especially in my district or anybody else here around the table, how that's going to affect what kind of nursing home and the minimum maximum cut that I asked for. So,
for that level of detail, we'd have to defer
Mr.
to the department if they have somebody here that could answer that question.
Senator Olson.
Well, is there somebody here from the department that could
Mr.
answer?
Mr. Chair.
I think it's on this. Is there somebody from the department who is able to answer that question? Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
Hi, Madam Chair, committee members. I'm Carrie Erber. I'm with the Department of Human Services. Bob Held was unable to come today, so I sent him an email to see if I can get that information for you. So hopefully he will do that soon. So I will let you know. As soon as I get that information. Thanks.
Members, I'm hearing from a few members. I've had some notes passed to me. It does appear members would like to go and hear about the omnibus tax bill, which is a very, very important provision that we're going to be moving this session. And I myself would like to hear about it quite a bit, too. I think we're going to be coming to a vote here very soon on the A2 amendment.
Well,
Senator Pretner-Solon.
I agree with you, Mr. Chair. I also feel like it's really hard to vote on a 260-page document
mm-hmm.
that we
mm-hmm.
haven't had a chance to look at. I'm wondering if somebody can direct me to where the hospital rebasing information is in here.
Mr. Giel?
Hospital rebasing is in Article 9. towards the, Article 10 now, towards the front of it.
Mr. Chair, while we're looking for that.
Senator Olson.
Could I just make the comment that, you know, I'm just wondering if there isn't an opportunity to, you know, recess for 5 minutes or 10 minutes to, while we're, you know, and vote on this, or for the last couple of days while other committees have been meeting, we've had to wait for a few minutes for those committees to end. And I'm just wondering if there's some compromise here about how we could handle this.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and members, when they get 34 members upstairs, they will recess, and Senator Pogemiller will not start the caucus for 45 minutes to give us an opportunity to finish here. I can't speak for Senator Senjum because I don't know what his plan is, and we haven't been able to reach him.
So we can take some time without missing our caucuses as well.
Well, I know at least on our side we can, and I would say, you know, we're not going to go back into session until our caucus is done, so I would think your side would have the same leeway with the time.
Do we know if they have 34? Mr. Chair, do we have any idea if they've had 34 members up there? Have they gone into recess yet? Or
maybe we could send somebody up to...
Oh, they just sent a message?
And ask that somebody come and let us know when they do have a quorum, the 34 members, so that we can continue doing this. But it does appear we have some flexibility without missing our respective discussions, at least in our caucus. And maybe Senator Rosen or Senator Fischbach, you could inquire about whether your caucus would be following the same general principles.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, I would suspect that that's the case.
I would suspect so, too, but I don't want to assume. So we're going to continue taking members' questions for a little time here, and we'll keep our staff running up and down and checking on where things are.
Mr. Chairman.
Questions of members. Senator.
In answer to Senator Pretner Solon's question, the rebasing language is Section 9. It starts on page 221, and the actual language is on the top of page 222. Governor had delayed rebasing until March 31 of 2012, and the Senate proposal is at that point, instead of to do 100% rebasing, it would be rebased at 72.5% of the full value for 1 year, and then April 1 of 2013, the rates would rebase at full value.
I would incorporate that correction into the amendment.
Senator Berglund incorporates the oral amendment to page 222, line 3, the 2012.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I spoke incorrectly. That's correct. It's 2012.
Senator Berglund removes her incorporation.
All right,
incorporation.
Then we don't need to correct anything.
Sorry.
So,
Senator Pretner Solon.
So then I don't understand. I'm not sure that the information that I understood from the spreadsheet was similar. Are we saying that we are for each year of the, I don't know. Are we putting off rebasing for 3 months?
Mr. Chairman, we're accepting the governor's proposal to delay rebasing for 3 months, from January 1 of 11 to April 1. And then from April 1 of 11, when he would put rebasing into full effect for that year, from April 1 of 11 to March 31 of 12, we would rebase at 72.5% of the full value.
So, Mr. Chair.
Senator Pretner, so.
And Mr. Giel, so for 1 year, the hospitals would be paid at 72.5% of value?
They would get an increase, which would be only 72.5% of the increase they would otherwise get without this language.
So what they would get their base that they currently are receiving plus 72.5% of the rebased value. Okay.
That's Mr. correct. Chairman, there was
better than I
a fair amount of confusion over that as we stepped through it. I appreciate that clarification.
I'm sorry. I thought that's what I said. But.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could staff point us to the language that has to do with the reduction in nursing home payments? Because I thought I understood what was being proposed, but when you talked about it being the highest paid within a geographic area, that's not what I was understanding. So can we look at the language on that?
Page 92.
Page 92, we're told. This is on the high paid nursing facilities reducing rates.
Mr. Chair,
page 92.
Mr. Chair, when we talked about this provision, my understanding was that we were going to be reducing the rates on those nursing homes that were paid at a higher level as compared to the rural nursing homes that are paid at a lower level. But what this says is that within their peer group and facility type, and so that would seem to me to say we're going to be reducing nursing home reimbursements across geographic levels. Is that what's intended here?
So your question is, does peer group and facility type mean, does that build geography into the equation?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, that's correct. There are the three peer groups are the three geographic regions, and the facility types, there are two. There are the... I think the rehab facilities and the hospital attached are in one type, and the freestanding facilities are in the other type.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Senator Olson,
that wasn't my understanding.
Senator Berglund?
Mr. Chairman, it is the same thing under rebasing. Facilities are rebased within geographic groupings, and so... Never my intention to misrepresent this, but it would be taking nursing homes that are getting higher reimbursement that might be in the same town with a nursing home getting a lower reimbursement, and the lower reimbursement facility would not be affected, but the high reimbursed facility would be.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Olson.
We do have some towns that are reimbursed at different rates, but this isn't going to help that if they're in different peer groups. And that's where the real problem comes in. But we talked very specifically about the fact that rural nursing homes were the ones just sort of barely hanging on because they're getting paid at a lower reimbursement rate. And I was under the impression that I was reassured that those were not going to be affected because we have some at a higher reimbursement rate, and that's where the cuts were coming.
Senator Berglund.
Well, Mr. Chairman, even within the regions, there are high reimbursed facilities and low reimbursed facilities. And the idea here was only to affect the high reimbursed facilities. You know, last session, every nursing home got a rate increase. And that rate increase was worth a lot more to the high reimbursed facilities than the low reimbursed facilities. You know, I had hoped to avoid this in this bill, but I couldn't. So the best I can do then is to say it would be more fair to take away from the high reimbursed facilities because they have a better ability to absorb that reduction than a low reimbursed facility would.
Well,
Senator Olson, and we do have several other members
I who understand.
Apparently wish to speak on this as well.
I understand, Mr. Chair, but that's kind of exactly the point that we've been making about the nursing homes that are reimbursed at a lower rate. And that's why they have less ability to absorb this, whether we've set these peer groups in the past or not. So.
Oh, is it? Am I working out the old one?
Senator Erickson Ropes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to echo what Senator Olson is saying. My impression is we've been talking about the highest reimbursed nursing home facilities is always that we were talking about the highest reimbursed facilities, generally speaking, across the state, not within regional or geographic regions, because there are In some of the rural areas, some of the highest reimbursed facilities in a rural area are still much lower than the highest reimbursed rates, generally speaking, across the state. So it was never my understanding that when we're talking about that we're talking about regional groups here, because we just continue with a disparity between rural and some of the statewide reimbursed high facilities. So this is going to cut into rural nursing homes in a way that's much more damaging, as if we were looking at a continuum of reimbursement rates across the state. I just did not have my mind wrapped around this language that says within their peer group.
Senator Rosen.
Mr. Chair, is there any way we can get some testimony from the industry? Is there any way we can get some testimony from the industry?
I think that would be in order. While they're coming up, Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Godfrey, can you give me some guidance on the spreadsheet, what matches up with this section?
Madam Chair, members, if you're looking for this item,
yes.
You would find it on page 11, line 521.
And then, Mr. Chair, if I may, 521. So what I was trying to get at is I was trying to get a little bit of perspective, and so I had an idea of how much money we were really talking about and dealing with here. And one thing that I might throw out for maybe further discussion or to have staff give some consideration to, we see on 521 the savings that we're capturing, and we're hearing some of the concerns from members. And so what would happen if we if I'm trying to maintain that savings, but I'm trying to get at what are truly those facilities that have the highest reimbursement rates, period? And I wonder if staff could take a look at that, and at least to provide us, so at least we could take a look at that, and we could then make that decision or have that.
I don't know if staff or DHS might have some additional thoughts on how it would play out under these different scenarios, or how quickly you could respond to such a question.
There is no proposal that's been put together to do that.
Senator Lynch.
I would add that, members, a lot of you represent rural areas, but a lot of the people on the floor are a cross-section of Minnesota. So I think, we have to remember that this is an omnibus bill to be presented to the whole Senate.
It's going to take, I would assume it would take some time to get any detailed analysis back from either staff or DHS, but we do have the some members from the nursing home groups to tell us a little bit about this. Welcome to the committee, and state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Carrie Thurlow. I represent Aging Services of Minnesota, and I'm here on behalf of the Imperative. Do you want to introduce yourself as well?
For the record, Mr. Chair, Toby Pearson with Care Providers of Minnesota.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we'd be happy to try to answer any questions that you may have, but this language is new to us as well. We are still studying the language to determine the impact on which facilities would be impacted, as well as the maximum, because the cuts will vary again depending on where the rates land, to try to figure out what the maximum and minimum cuts are for facilities. And so we are still trying to also determine both what the impact will have on care centers, as well as alternative approaches to doing this. And I think we stand committed to doing that analysis, sharing it with the committee members as soon as we are able, and working with the author to try to come up with alternatives if possible as well. But at this point, we'd be happy to answer any questions. But that's we're just very concerned that we are not sure right now as to what the impact is, and it will be variable.
Senator Berglund, one thing I would note is that, you mentioned earlier that this is similar to the way that rebasing is done, and the only rebasing language I know was where we were pointed on page 222 to the delay of the rebasing. I went and read that, and I didn't find reference to their peer group and facility type. So maybe we could get some clarification on your statement that this is how the historic rebasing that we did would flow as well. I think that would maybe help us understand this a little bit better. Senator Berglund?
Mr. Chairman, rebasing was done within regions as well. It wasn't done on a statewide basis in terms of, you know, equalizing everybody across the state. It was done within regions. So, you know, anybody who had the idea that that rebasing proposal that we adopted was going to equalize payments across the state over time, that would be erroneous. So this is just doing kind of the opposite of what rebasing would do, and it's taking some funds out of the reimbursement of the high-cost facilities in each region. And the rebasing was kind of the opposite, to give money to the low-cost facilities in each region based on what their peer grouping was. Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to say one other thing because, you know, this kind of annoys me. Nobody is sitting here taking out a handkerchief for home health agencies or for group homes or for waivered services that are all taking a 3% cut in this bill. The only thing that's in this bill is taking money away from nursing homes is the money that is prospective in terms of rebasing. The money they've already gotten on rebasing is not taken away. And, you know, at some point you just have to look at the fairness of how we reimburse our long-term care industry. You know, those who are taking care of people in the community, at home, at adult daycare centers, all get cut. They can't pay their staff, but nursing homes don't get cut. I don't believe that's a fair way to approach things. Obviously, I did not want to cut nursing homes. I know this is a very sensitive area, but I could not get there without doing it in this budget. If I would have had the fiscal notes that we'd been given originally by the department, I would have been able to. But there were huge million-dollar errors in those fiscal notes. And so in the last few days, I've had to come back and make additional cuts I hadn't hoped to make.
Senator Sharon.
Thank you, Senator Lurie. I think about this, I heard Mr. Giel say that it was geographic when he began to go through it, and that was a new concept to me. I don't know necessarily that that's right or wrong, but I do think that's central to our discussion here is, do we want to simply say the top 5% nursing homes statewide or in their peer groups? And I'd like to understand that without the list of who this impacts. I know, because that drives our discussion very differently. It's you start to get aligned with those nursing homes, and instead of saying what are the strengths and limitations of those two different approaches, that they are within a peer group or they are statewide geography. Because I just know if we could sort of understand that and vote on that, it's better for me, because once I see something that's in my district, it has a very different kind of impact on how I interpret that data. And maybe I ought to. Maybe that's the right way to approach it, to see its specific impact in my district. But it does take away from trying to make a decision about something that is really none of us want to make, which is a cut to these nursing home facilities. So I'd just be interested in your reaction to that, because that's, I think, what we're trying to figure out is, should it be peer grouping or should it be simply statewide?
Well, we did ask the department for some breakdowns on how this language works out, and that is, you know, they're going to try to get it to us as we move forward.
And then I would just like to ask that if it was done statewide rather than by peer grouping, that the number would remain the same in the fiscal note? If we change that, does that change the fiscal note somehow?
Senator Berglund?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, it would change the fiscal note. We have no idea how we would fiscal note it.
Senator Fischbach.
Well, Mr. Chair, if folks are done with that, those questions.
I don't think they are. You have another topic?
Yes.
Okay, we'll try to get through this.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to get on your list.
Yep.
To sneak in.
You're on my list. Senator Lynch.
Mr. Chair, I don't really have much else to add. I guess my direct, what I was trying to get at was I don't want to change the fiscal impact here. What I was trying to suggest is that we, while maintaining that savings that appears in the spreadsheet, what might be another way to get there in this same arena? And I think that that would be information that would be helpful to the division.
I would agree that information isn't available for us right now, unfortunately.
I understand, I know, Mr. Chair, but this
reiterating.
Is a work in progress, and at some point we need to make the ask of the staff, and that's what I'm asking. I'd like to see an alternative proposal that maintains the savings that are in the spreadsheet.
That does it on a statewide basis rather than on a rural basis. Consider
Mr.
that
Chairman,
ask.
We can do that. I would just, from talking to DHS, I would offer the fact that if we do that, we're really going to zero in on the specialty facilities, the rehab facilities, that kind of facility. If you rank all the facilities from high to low, that's where you'd really hit hard. But we can certainly look at that and
Mr. Chair.
Price that out for the same savings and see what we come
I
up with.
I thought that the specialty facilities were already
excluded
mm-hmm. and we could maintain that exclusion for the specialty facilities would be my understanding, and take the just the straight up nursing facilities and do that on a statewide basis, and I would imagine that would be what the rural members here are expressing would be their preference for the additional information.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't believe that's in the language in front of you to exclude anybody, unless I've missed it.
It's supposed to be.
Senator
Berglund. It was in the proposal the department did for us.
Well, maybe we need to work on that further, and I'm sure.
Affects the fiscal note too, then, I suppose.
Okay.
No, it just changes.
So with the instruction that goes to staff, we would need to clarify that as well and make sure that the specialty facilities were excluded, both in the one that is geographic and in the statewide one. Senator Rosen.
Mr. Chair, I guess I'll defer to Senator Olson. She looks like I do have a comment, though. But
oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Gill? It's in there.
It is in there. It's on 92.32. Rate reduction shall not apply to facilities licensed under Minnesota rules part, et cetera.
Okay.
That's an exclusion for the
kind of facilities. So you could move ahead then with the analysis of what it would look like statewide.
Mr. Chair, we could.
With the help of DHS, I would imagine.
That's correct.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was just going to say, there's no reason why we have to have a different fiscal note. We can certainly just take the same number of dollars and rework the formula and do it in a way that would take the same number of dollars across the highest paid facilities, looking at that issue statewide rather than within a peer group. And I have to say, the reason that I'm so taken aback by this proposal as it's written in this language is because when we talked about this, we didn't talk about it within a peer group. I mean, I guess that tag was just never added. But what we did talk about several times as we've been discussing this is the impact of the disparities in reimbursement rates and the concern that we had by not going through rebasing, how that was going to put a burden on those rural nursing homes that are the ones that have been primarily closing because they are paid at a lesser reimbursement rate. And specifically, what I remember hearing was somehow this proposal was going to narrow that gap. Well, this isn't going to narrow any gap. And so that's why I think it would be more appropriate to be doing this on a statewide basis, looking at nursing home reimbursement rates on a statewide basis.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Berger,
I'd just like to point out to Senator Olson that I've probably had more facilities close in my district than you have over the last 4 years.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Pretner-Solon.
And I would recommend that we look at all these options, but we do need to confer with the industry. We need to know the impact that it's going to have. And I would like us to continue working on this as we move into a conference committee.
And I think that
noting the concerns that we have.
I think that it is probably unrealistic of us to expect to have enough analysis of this by the time that we need to adopt the A2 amendment to actually know everything we're going to, and we'll note the request for additional information and continue to work on this as it moves forward. I think it does need a good deal more discussion and a good deal more work to make sure that it is something that we agree is the least bad of the bad options that we need to adopt at the end of the day in this session. I mean, that's what we're all working for, is the least bad of the bad. Senator Rosen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And there was talk about setting our priorities. What's a priority? And clearly for this committee, this is a priority. So I'm going to just break this wide open, that perhaps we should talk about the governor's recommendations for not completely taking all of his recommendations for the eligibility for parents on MnCARE, but we didn't accept any reductions in that area. And perhaps that's something we should look at all options in that to protect this obvious priority when it comes to long-term care facilities.
Senator Olson.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Rosen, in response to that, my personal feeling would just be that the money is in the Health Care Access Fund to pay for those people. So the only way that we would be able to take from and reduce eligibility, which I'm not even sure that we can do under federal guidelines, but if we were to do that, we would be robbing from the Health Care Access Fund to pay for nursing homes, and I think, you know, that would be breaking our trust with everyone who's paying into that fund.
Senator
Chair,
Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Olson, if you look on the spreadsheet 7-11, there is some funds out of the general fund towards the Minnesota Care. Out of the general fund, not only the Health Care Access Fund. So clearly.
Those are costs.
Those are costs.
Oh, excuse me, those added. I'm sorry.
Costs, not savings.
Well, there goes my argument.
Yes. So, points well taken. Senator Fischbach, are you ready to go move on?
Mr. Chair, I have the KC0016 amendment to the amendment.
KC0016 amendment. As that's being distributed, Senator Fischbach.
Well, Mr. Chair, this is a bill of Senator Senjum's, and there was a discussion in the Health Policy Committee, and at the time, I guess there was another amendment offered, and he ended up withdrawing it. There have been some changes made to his original proposal, and it was basically there's no fiscal note. And they did reduce the number of the task force from 25 to 21 on the first. And I'm sorry, this is the Autism Spectrum Disorder Joint Task Force. Maybe I should have pointed that out. For those people who aren't on Health Policy Committee. But Senator Senjum asked me to offer this. He's been working very hard on this, and so he made some of those changes and made sure that there was no fiscal note. So at this point, it would be all policy.
Senator Fischbach, my recollection of this, we did hear it in policy. My recollection was that there was a fiscal note.
But, Mr. Chair, we changed that so that it is only they're only able to spend money within available federal and state funding, the commissioners of education, et cetera. It's on page 2, starts on line 7. But we specifically had it drafted so there wouldn't be a fiscal note.
And did you work with the departments to ensure that they concur that there is
Mr.
no...
Mr. Chair, yes. I'm being told yes.
Is there anyone from the departments who can confirm that?
They have that's working on that have been working on the current...
committee.
Mr. Chair, I'm Heidi Hamilton with the Department of Human Services. I can confirm for the Department of Human Services there is no fiscal note.
The fiscal note that we have, and I do have it up here, Senator Fischbach.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, for the amendment?
This bill is for the bill, because that's what we had. Nobody had seen the amendment. The fiscal note came from the Department of Education.
Is there anyone from the Department of Education who can?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Lisa Barnage. I am, from the Department of Education. My understanding of the amendment was that it would not have allowed the department to use federal funds, but it sounds like Senator Fischbach, you're saying that it is limiting to use or telling us to use it with current funds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
It's on page 2, Mr. Chair. 7. Yes, there you go.
Section.
Thank you very much, sir. The department did, in our fiscal note of the original bill, although we currently do provide a federally funded special education staff for the task force that was being, that the legislature had this year, when our program finance division reviewed the legislation again for this bill, decided that the requirements had gone beyond the original task force, and so therefore did show a cost. I was coming up to ask that if funding was not provided, that we would be allowed the flexibility to use the appropriate funds that we thought to fund the task force. So if this does not limit us from using the federal funded staff that we currently use, we appreciate that.
So, Mr. Chair, and I'm sorry, Senator I didn't Fischbach. Catch your name.
Sorry, Senator Fischbach. Lisa Barnage with the Department of Education.
So, Ms. Barnage, I guess I wasn't quite sure. I understand there was a fiscal note originally.
Right.
But with this language, as long as you have the flexibility to use other dollars, there would be no fiscal note from the department.
Ms. Barnage.
If funding's not provided, we would like the flexibility to use that. So either whichever federal or state funds. So, yes, that would we would.
Ms. Barnage, are you able to say that with clarity regarding Section B beginning on page 2, line 7? Would you like a few minutes to read that and think about your answer?
If that's okay, yes, thank you.
That's okay. We'd like to get the right answer.
Mr. Chair, absolutely.
Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is kind of unusual. I don't ever remember a situation where someone has come to us. There either is a fiscal note or there isn't a fiscal note. And I don't think that that has been answered. And so, and
there,
if it is
in
the
fiscal note, we do this every now and then. I mean, if you can make an amendment that removes the fiscal note.
Mr. Chair. We did that.
Mr. Chair.
Every day.
The Department of Education just came forward, and I'm only suggesting that this seems a little bit unusual, and I'm wondering if we have jurisdiction over this fiscal note from another division. Just a question.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, it says within federal and state funding. So I'm assuming if what is requested here goes beyond the capacity of the departments to provide it, they would just tell the task force they can't do it, whatever it would be.
That's what it looks like this was crafted to accomplish, but there was apparently some confusion over that education. Okay. I don't have a copy of the fiscal note that was originally issued. There are several departments here, I see. Education, Economic Development, Health, Human Services. Did anybody else have any costs in the original fiscal note?
Mr. Godfrey, can you help remind us if there are other fiscal note requests from other departments?
Senator Berglund, there are five agencies that reviewed this fiscal note. It was the legislature, DEED, Human Services, Health Department, and Education. The Education Department had, and I have not reviewed this fiscal note recently, or at least this revised one, And the Department of Education is obviously not an area that I'm know quite a bit about. But in any event, originally they had said that they would need a 0.2 FTE to assist with some of the data collection and the activities of the task force. It appears that the other agencies that were also asked to look at this, for instance, the legislature, did say that they would have a minimal cost of $2,000, but they would absorb that. And I know Mr. Nauman, Eric Nauman, is here. He's the fiscal analyst for education, and he may have a better perspective as to why the Department of Education would assume a fiscal note here and not some of those other agencies.
Well, Mr. Chair, the department's Nauman. Back.
The department's back.
They've had an opportunity, I think. I've got the impression she's glanced at it and has some better idea.
Ms. Barnage?
Mr. Chair, thank you, Senators. After reading this, since it does say within the available federal and state funds, the commissioners shall provide assistance to the task force. So I would read that as that we would be able to use our federal or state staff within the current abilities that we have to use those funds. So therefore, we would be able to use our current staff for the.
So, Mr. Chair.
Senator Fishbein.
My understanding is there is no fiscal note from the Department of Education.
Ms. Barnage, this removes the Department of Education's fiscal note.
Mr. Chair, yes, thank you.
To zero. Is that correct?
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Nauman, did you have additional thoughts?
Mr. Chair and Senators, I think that you've kind of covered the waterfront on this. I think it would be, keep in mind that this body has already passed the education bill, and this would be an expense upon the Department of Education. The K-12 position in the Senate is an already appropriated K-12 budget for the Department of Education for administrative purposes. So in theory, if you add this, you're just asking the Department of Education to eat that cost. That doesn't mean there's not an effect.
Okay.
But it sounds like they're saying it's okay.
Senator Pruttner, so on.
Mr. Chair, on another subject, I still object to the 21-member task force and the lack of real focus on professional members. I mean, there are some professional members, but it's a small portion of that task force. And Mr. Chair.
Senator Pruttner,
just to elaborate, I think a 21-member task force would have a very hard time doing its work. It's entirely too large.
We had a long discussion about this in the policy committee. Senator Erickson-Ropes.
Yes, Mr. Chair, to that point, I was just going to say, didn't we approve this in policy committee but with a list of recommendations?
It was withdrawn. We had a number of questions. We had some suggestions that it felt like the committee might be more amenable if the board were restructured and there was a good deal of work left to be done. This is my recollection. And Senator Senjum withdrew this from the consideration of the committee at that time and said that he'd go work with the stakeholders and see if he could bring something back that addressed our concerns in the health policy committee.
Thank you.
This is the first we've seen it since.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for clarifying that. And I'm not seeing any of those recommendations and how they've improved the proposal before us. Is that correct?
Senator Fishbach mentioned that they brought it down from 25 to 21.
Yeah.
27 to 21. That's in the right direction. Whether it addresses all of the members' concerns or not is what's before us. Senator Fishbach?
Mr. Chair, I honestly don't remember all of the recommendations, so I couldn't. That day in committee, there was a lot of discussion, and I just don't remember all of the recommendations that were, if that's what was going on. Exactly. I thought there was an amendment that was offered at one point, and I don't recall all of the details of that amendment.
you know, whether there was an amendment offered or not, there was a good deal of discussion regarding the discomfort regarding about the makeup of the board. It was withdrawn before any amendments were adopted, but I think that the concerns were borne out. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was not privy to the discussion in the policy committee because I don't sit on that, but I don't really understand the problem with this amendment and why we would not want a task force that's addressing autism and a disorder that's increasing by at least three times. I heard the figure the other day. It's a tremendous increase in autism lately, and I feel that there is I don't know who else you would want to add on here as far as professional people that could help address this and make a task force study available to us with funds that are clearly going to be covered. I really don't understand what the problem is here with this amendment.
I think that the discomfort was the makeup of the board was, you know, pretty heavily weighted toward people affected by autism and families. And, you know, I think that when we ask for advice and reports back to the legislature, we'd like to the best extent possible, make sure that it is that advice and recommendation is based on the best evidence and science available, and that is going to take experts in the field, and so that whole balance thing. We want to make sure that we get the best advice for how to invest our scarce public resources. And so it just has to be the right balance between those affected by the disorder and those experts in the field of
treatment. Mr. Chair, Rosen. 1.15, it's two members who are parents of children. I mean, these are parents, and I think they obviously have something to say about autism, and we should be listening.
Oh, absolutely.
So everybody else looks like we've pretty well got it covered, and if there's somebody else that's in the audience that should be on this, I would like to hear from them, because I think this is a well-appointed task force, well thought out, and I believe it's information that we need to know.
Well, I don't know.
Other questions, comments of members? Senator Olson.
On this topic, Mr. Chair, on a different topic.
On the KC0016 amendment.
I guess what I would like to do, Mr. Chair, is I'd like to I'll withdraw that for later, Mr.
Senator
Chair.
Lynch.
Mr. Chair, I apologize. Maybe Mr. Godfrey can help. I remain confused as to whether or not there's a fiscal note associated with this amendment or not. And I'd like clarification of which division's jurisdiction this falls under, and if that discussion is still open. I'm unclear. I don't ever recall sitting here and having a fiscal note and then having someone come up and say, but really it's zero.
Or really, Mr. Chair,
we can do this within our means.
Senator Rosen.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fischbach.
I was confused.
I'm confused as
Mr.
Well.
Chair, Senator Lynch, I think what the difference is that the amendment was changed. The fiscal note was written to the original bill, and now there is a change. The amendment is changed to eliminate that fiscal note. We do it all the time. I mean, to reduce or eliminate a fiscal note.
Maybe Mr. Nauman can clear things up. What I heard you say last time, Mr. Nauman, was that the way this is worded, we've already given direction to, in the Senate's position, as to how administrative resources within the Department of Education would be utilized, and this is an additional requirement that would they would be required to do this within existing resources, which would, in essence, reallocate the priorities of the Department of Education. Is that
Mr. Chair, Norman? Yes, that is what I said. Maybe just to take a couple, there's a couple of pieces to this. Mm-hmm. first, Senate File 1551 had a fiscal note performed on it, as Senator Fischbach spoke to. That was the original bill. The Department of Education at that point came back with a cost of $20,000 and $18,000, believing that what the bill did was create an additional burden on the agency, or additional cost on the agency, and they flagged it with a general fund cost. The second piece is that you now have an amendment before you which has not been fiscal noted, and it may have a cost, it may not. I suspect that it probably does not, given the language. Nevertheless, to the jurisdiction question, there were in the Department of Finance believed that there were five potential agencies that had a potential fiscal note and asked them all to look at it in the process of fiscal noting. I usually use that as a good proxy for which committees have jurisdiction over this kind of language. As Mr. Godfrey spoke earlier, the legislature looked at it, Employment and Economic Development, Human Services, Health, and the Education Department looked over it.
Thank you. Senator Fischbach, you wish to comment?
And Mr. Chair, I just wanted to add to the comments that you made. The department did indicate that they would absorb that it wouldn't be an issue.
Well, that,
the way
that,
I understand that.
That they
I mean,
wouldn't say that there would be a general fund cost to implementing it the way this was done, but it would be a reprioritization of the work within the department.
But, Mr. Chair, they said that wouldn't be a problem.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry to belabor this point. About a half an hour ago, I got an email from the Department of Education saying that they were looking back at this. It's consistent with what Ms. Barnage said, that they believe that they can internalize the cost. The fiscal note has been pulled back on this piece for the Department of Education. They're looking at it. If the testimony that you've received from them is consistent with what's going on at the department right now, and I have no reason to doubt that it will be consistent, I'm sure the note will come back at zero.
Senator Coring.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I just want to weigh in and say that I think this is a good amendment. And if I've heard it this session one time, I've heard it 1,000 times, that this is a work in progress. So why don't we just vote on this good amendment and pass it and have it be a work in process? And if it doesn't work, when it gets to the floor, we can take it out, or we can just, if people don't like it here, we'll just offer it on the floor then. So I'm ready to vote.
A couple more comments and call for a vote on the KC0016. Senator Erickson Ropes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to agree with Senator Lynch that it's really unusual that the health division is adding on a provision to an education bill that's already been passed. I wonder how we'd feel about that if we passed our health care bill on the floor and then another division added some extra direction to us without having our committee have had a chance to discuss it. So I wonder if, in order to get around some of the questions here, if we just change the language on 2.7 to say, if state and federal funding is available, then the department would have the choice about whether to adopt it or not.
Make it basically, Senator Erickson Ropes, you're trying to make it so that it wouldn't be a mandatory reprioritization within the department, but allow the department the permissive authority to do this if they can absorb it.
Yes,
without disrupting other. That's the intent of your amendment, correct?
That's the intent, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, could we get it repeated?
To help us draft such language. Senator Fischbach?
Can we just get it repeat, the amendment, the proposal?
Well, Senator
Erickson
Ropes, are you comfortable with letting counsel help draft that? What we're going to try to do, we've heard that the way this is drafted, it would be a reprioritization of the items done within the Department of Education, that this would mandate the Department of Education to do this work within existing resources, which in essence reprioritizes the work within the Department of Education. There are significant questions as to whether that is jurisdictionally appropriate for us to do right here. I think that if we made this permissive so that if the Department of Education truly could absorb these costs without upsetting the apple cart somewhere else, that this would be more palatable to some additional members. So Senate Council is drafting an amendment that would make this permissive for the Department of Education within existing resources rather than mandatory the way it is drafted right now. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I still don't understand why this big uproar over this amendment and this direction that we were trying to get to with autism. And I certainly don't want to start, bringing up something that I see the connection. Hopefully I can explain the connection that here in our fiscal spreadsheet on the very last page, we're taking money out of the Minnesota Joint Underwriting Association that has nothing to do with human services. And we're appropriating, and I'm not going to say much about that, but we do cross lines quite a bit. And we have to remember that this is, the arguments here are very lame.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Corrin.
I guess I would also like to say that I don't know why the majority party is worried about jurisdiction and crossing lines. And I've, in my short 6.5 years here, I've seen us do all kinds of things. And I'm sure that Senator Lynch and Senator Erickson Ropes, who are surprised by this, will see that the longer they're here.
Senator Corrin, in my short 2+ years here, I think that that is untrue, that we aren't worried about jurisdictional issues. I think that is an unfounded accusation, truthfully. I think that we do try very hard to respect our jurisdictional boundaries and the work of the committees, and that questions regarding that are well-founded, whether they are brought forward by either party. Senator Lynch.
Nothing, Mr. Chair.
Not going to...
Well, Mr. Chair, is
Senator Erickson Ropes, would you like to offer that amendment? I don't know if council is ready with language that might work. Would you like to pursue that?
Mr. Yes. Chair.
Senator Fischbach.
Can she offer an amendment to an amendment? To an amendment?
You can offer
an
amendment.
We have an amendment.
We have an amendment in front of us. Senator Erickson Ropes is offering an amendment to the amendment.
But my amendment is to an amendment.
Does it matter?
Ooh. We're at
the third
year.
Amendment, Mr. Chair.
I would ask council, is that appropriate?
Is that no, it's not.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Fischbach would either have to incorporate the language into the amendment, or if the amendment is adopted, then the amendment could be further amended.
Okay. So maybe we could get the language that Senator Erickson Ropes is offering, you could, Senator Fischbach, it would be up to you.
It would be, Mr. Chair,
as to whether you would
incorporate.
Yeah, it would be a suggestion you could incorporate into your amendment. You see, Senator Coring, how good we are about process here.
You're wonderful.
and if Council, do you have some suggested language to
Mr.
get at?
Mr. Chair. If on page 2, line 7, delete within available federal and state funding and insert if federal or state funding is available.
Federal or state funding available. Senator Fischbach, would you like to incorporate that language into your amendment?
If it is the if, Mr. Chair, my understanding is we are going to delete line 2-7 within available federal and state funding and replace with. I'm sorry, I was talking to my staff person who has more information.
Ms. Kavanaugh will repeat what it would read.
Page 2, line 7, delete within available federal and state funding and insert if federal or state funding is available.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, I guess, I'm a little uncomfortable agreeing to something because it is Senator Senjum's amendment, but what I will do is I will agree to make that amendment with with the caveat that I will speak with Senator Senchin before it gets to the floor and see what
Senator.
We've got Stumpf in here.
Oh, Senator Stumpf is in here. Senator Fischbach incorporates the language suggested by Ms. Kavanaugh into the KC-0016 amendment. Now we have the amendment back in shape. Any other questions, comments?
Mr. Chair,
on the KC-0016 amendment?
I would like a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Any other questions or comments on the KC-0016 amendment? Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we've only just addressed a couple of the issues that were starting to evolve and be discussed and worked on in the Health Policy Committee. And I would just remind members that we didn't have the opportunity to complete our work in the Health Policy Committee. There were questions in the Health Policy Committee on the size of the task force. There were questions in the Health Policy Committee on the scope of the task force. There were questions, there were lots of questions, and we didn't have the opportunity to continue our work because the author pulled the bill before the Health Policy Committee could complete its work.
We have Senator Fischbach's motion before us.
Mr. Chair, my understanding, and I know that Senator Senchin has been much more involved in this task force, but this recommendation of this task force and its makeup and everything comes from the task force that we had in place last year. So this is from people who have taken a look at this, have worked on this. This was not, I don't believe that they came to this conclusion lightly. And so I think that respecting the work that those folks have already done makes sense too. And so I think this is a good thing. We need to continue this task force, let these people take a look at it. And I think it's a good makeup. And if we're ready for a vote, I've already requested a roll call.
You've requested a roll call. A roll call will be granted. We're getting very close to a vote.
Mr. Chair, with
Senator Rosen.
With the vote will be on the total amendment.
Yes,
not
it will
on
be on
the
case.
Verbal changes here that are
it will it, incorporating.
Incorporating those.
So,
okay.
Senator Fischbach's motion is the KC-0016 amendment incorporating the language offered by Ms. Kavanaugh. Let's do the roll.
Berglund is out of the room. Lynch, Senator Lynch?
No.
Senator Erickson Ropes?
Yes.
Senator Fischbach?
Yes.
Senator Coring?
Aye.
Senator Lurie?
Aye.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Prettner Solon?
No.
Senator Rosen?
Aye.
And Senator Sharon?
No.
Passes. 6-3.
There being 6 votes in favor and 3 opposed, the motion does prevail. We now have the A2 amendment back before us.
As amended.
As amended. Many times. Senator Sharon, did you?
Yes, I would like to draw your attention on page 224.
Real quick, I did get a note just as far as timing. The DFL is caucusing at 1:15 on the omnibus tax bill. If I could get information as to the Republican caucus, that I'd.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rose.
Mr. Chair, I believe they're caucusing at 11:30.
Yeah, that was
1:30. Excuse me. Caucus at 1:30.
1:30.
Right, room 112.
Okay, just for
for our work purposes.
DFL is maybe, yeah.
11:30 is close.
Okay, so, I'm sorry. Senator Sharon.
On page 224, line 244.20, 244.26, and 244.30, the hospital-acquired infection language is included in the bill despite the lack of savings. And apparently this goes beyond the Medicare standard. And so I just would like to suggest an inquiry as to why that would be continue to be in the bill.
Yeah, this was described as the same standard as Medicare, if recollection serves. Senator Berglund, we're on the hospital acquired infectious disease. It's on page 244 of the A2 amendment.
Which lines on 244?
The lines, I'll repeat them, 244.20, 0.26, and 0.30. It's language that...
Beginning on 244.20.
224, page 224, 224, lines 244.20.
There isn't a page 244.
224? Am I looking? Page 224. 224? Yeah. 240. Well, it must be 224.20, excuse me.
Yes, it is. It's on page 224.
0.20, 224.26, and 224.30. Is that correct?
Yeah.
This was part of the list of services that are not paid for by Medicare. We heard this bill in the division, and these are codes where Medicare does not pay. If a hospital-acquired infection is the reason for the treatment, you're treating the infection that the person didn't have when they went in the hospital, and the hospital got the person infected, then Medicare doesn't pay for that. Remediating that service, and the bill that we had before us was that Medicaid would not pay either.
Mr. Chair, could we call upon
Senator Sharon.
Sarah to explain what the issue is for them here? She's here.
Ms. Nosnicki, welcome back to the committee. You have...
Madam Chair, Member Sarah Nosnicki from the Minnesota Medical Association. I have to admit I'm a little outside of my comfort zone in terms of my familiarity with the Medicare list, but what I'm told is that the reference we're referring to here is page 224.18. That's the hospital portion. And then page 244.20 is the physician services. My understanding of this, and perhaps counsel, who knows otherwise, could correct me, is that the list included for hospital services, and which the physician services references, is larger or is it goes beyond that the list that Medicare requires or Medicare prohibits reimbursement for. And Medicare does not speak to physician services, although the Medical Association certainly does not feel that physicians should be reimbursed when they are at fault. What we hear is that a physician who's performing a service that's unrelated to the reason for the reportable condition should be able to be reimbursed for those services. So we just have some concerns about the language. I think some of those concerns were raised by committee members when this amendment was considered before in the committee as the committee was putting their bill together. But certainly we're open to finding a solution.
I see now on 244, line 30, where the physician services does refer back to the hospital acquired, but it does say on 244.29 for related that are related back. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
We did discuss this during the presentation, and it is not that a physician wouldn't get paid for a related function, but they would not get paid for redoing a service that had been done in error by the physician, just as the hospital wouldn't get paid. And we think if the hospital isn't getting paid and it was an error committed by a physician, the physicians shouldn't get paid either.
Madam Chair, members, we don't disagree. We've read it a little bit differently than that, but we can continue to discuss it. We just appreciate the committee taking a second look.
Okay. I see someone else would like to speak briefly to this.
Mr. Chair, members, Sue Stout from the Hospital Association. I thought there was a question about the list, and we did double-check the list against the federal list, and that the list of codes is identical to the list of codes in the federal law.
So it is.
The language that's slightly different is in paragraph D on page 225, and that because the federal law just doesn't talk about it, the transfers, but we can keep talking and see if there's any concerns from our members and talk to our members about that. But essentially, the list is the list, and we agreed.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions of members? Seeing none, Senator Berglund renews her motion.
Mr. Chair, I thought you meant on... I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I thought you meant on this specific issue.
I meant on the A2, but Senator Olson.
Okay. Mr. Chair, on page 92, 92.31, this is going back to the issue of nursing homes and whether we were looking at this reduction being within a peer group or statewide. I would like to offer an oral amendment, which would, on line 92.31, remove the words their peer group and then on line 93.5 and 93.7, where the word is the 64th percentile, I would like to give council the latitude to adjust that number to reflect the same amount of savings so that the bill would be fiscally balanced. And again, I understand that we're being told that with some of these numbers not being available and without the opportunity to look at exactly which nursing homes are being affected, that this may be a work in progress. But this amendment would at least bring this language closer to the accord of what I understood we were going to be considering today. And so that's my amendment. So essentially, we would be looking at making this adjustment statewide and looking at highest paid nursing homes as a statewide proposition as opposed to within the peer group.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, I would oppose this amendment. And if it does go on the bill, I would remind the members of this committee that this is not the last place this bill goes.
And I do see we have Mr. Held from the Department of Human Service here now. We'd requested earlier some clarification as to what facilities might be affected by the rate adjustment as it was initially structured within peer groups and facility type, and then actually as it developed, we'd like some clarification. I don't know if you're able to give that now as to what would happen if we did this on a statewide basis rather than on a geographic basis within peer groups. I don't know if you're able to respond to those questions or not, but welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
Just one other comment to sort of get you up to speed. I was explaining to the members of the division that the rebasing for nursing homes was based on peer groups so that rebasing never was going to make every facility in the state have the same rate. And there so this idea is just within those peer groups to only affect people that are at the top within their peer group.
Mr. Chair, that's what this language does. Is it takes each...
State your name for the record.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Bob Held from the Department of Human Services. This language takes and divides the 380-some nursing homes into six groups. There's three peer groups, and within each peer group, there's two facility types. And I heard that the amendment addressed that language on page 92, line 31. The language is also repeated on page 93, line 3. I didn't hear if that was addressed in the
that
amendment.
That would be incorporated into Senator Olson's amendment.
And I can't. Well, first of all, you asked if we had a list of facilities that were affected by this, and I believe David Godfrey has that list.
Great.
And there's actually two lists there. One list is sorted by the dollar amount of revenue that the facility would lose. And so you can see at the top the facility that's losing the most money down to the 64% or so of facilities that are not going to lose any money under this proposal. The second list is the same information sorted alphabetically by facility name.
But it's so within the groups, correct?
Mr. Chair, the calculation of those dollar amounts is done using this exact language where they're in the six different groups by facility type and peer group. The calculation could be amended or changed in accordance with this amendment, and I wouldn't know what the effect of that would be until we had done the calculation and looked at it, but I believe that the predominant effect of that would be that the rate reductions would be focused in the metro area, and they would be focused on specialized care facilities, and they would be focused on hospital-attached facilities.
Mr. Chair?
We got clarification earlier that the specialty facilities are excluded in the existing language. Is that not the case? On page 92, line 33, we excluded those facilities licensed under Minnesota Rules 9570, 2000 to 3400, which would be the specialty facilities.
Mr. Chair, that reference is to four facilities that are called Rule 80 facilities. And I think one would agree that those are all four specialized facilities. However, there are other facilities that are relatively high-rate facilities because of the nature of the care that they provide.
Well, Mr. Chair?
Are those facilities licensed in a different manner than others?
No, Mr.
So there's
Chair.
No way to really get at those very well in the language.
I have
to exclude other specialty facilities. That would be
intention. Language here.
Mr. Chair, I think I can address that.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, the language facility type still remains in the bill, if you consider my amendment. And I'm assuming that there are different types of facilities that might be paid because of exactly what you were talking about at a different rate. I'm not removing that language. I'm only removing the language that talks about the peer group, which is the geographic rating.
Mr. Held, would the facility type distinction, the two types, take care of the specialty?
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, no, it would not. The term facility type is a defined term in 256B-441, which is where this amendment is being placed, and it refers to a distinction of facilities into two groups. The first group are the Rule 80 facilities and the hospital-attached facilities, and the second group is everybody else called freestanding facilities. And when I'm referring to as specialized facilities, would be in any either of those groups. That's not a distinction that's captured by this.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
And Mr. Chairman and Mr. Held, can you just clarify the numbers on the sheet? Are they biennial numbers?
Mr. Held?
Are you talking, Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, on... Those are numbers that tell you the loss of revenue of the facility in a full year of the rate reduction.
1 year?
One full year.
1 year.
So those aren't the exact numbers that would be reflected on the spreadsheet because of the effective date of the change, which is October 1st. So in the first year, their revenue loss would be approximately two-thirds of that. And in addition, that number, I believe, includes private pay and federal share.
Well, except we have language in here to freeze the private pay.
Okay, I haven't seen that.
And Mr. Chair,
these numbers would reflect the cap for the private pays as well. So the effect would be somewhat muted by those private pays within the facilities. Is that correct,
Mr. Chair? Yes, it would.
Okay, Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, I guess I just would like to point out on the map we have Pier 1, Pier 2, and Pier 3, which are three different geographic regions. And that seems to be the reference to the peer groups. That's my intent to eliminate in consideration of how when we're looking at the highest paid groups. And that's the intent of my amendment.
I think we understand that.
I don't know.
Any other questions of Mr. Held? Any other? Senator Pretner Solon.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to speak against Senator Olson's amendment. As I look at the distribution, I realize that several of my nursing homes are affected, but the ones that are suffering the hardest are not. And I just think it probably is the fairest at this point. And it probably would be helpful for us to see another a similar distribution showing cuts without the peer groups, dividing them. But this seems like it is the fairest across the state at this point.
Mr. Chairman, just because, I expect when we leave this room that everybody in the state of Minnesota will have one of these sheets, I want you to make it very clear that this does include the rate reduction that would occur because of the private pay.
Yes.
And that is not what's in the bill.
It will be muted some. Senator Olson, you had additional comments?
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess I just would reiterate my original comments that we have a distinction in reimbursement rates that's based on a geographic disparity that doesn't make a lot of sense from my point of view in terms of the actual cost of doing business. We're paying a lesser amount to people in rural nursing homes, and as a result, we've had more pressure on those lower reimbursed nursing homes. And I think we should be looking across the board at the level of reimbursement. I thought that's what we were doing, and so I would renew my amendment.
Okay. I know all of us are flipping through here looking for our facilities, and we all care very deeply. I'm personally somewhat conflicted about this as well. I mean, I understand. To my nursing homes, it's the hospital attached that are affected, and the freestanding, I don't see them with costs. This is a work in progress. I think if Senator Corning were here, he would state that as well. I think we're getting close to needing to vote on this, but other questions, comments from members? Seeing none, Senator Olson renews her oral amendment to the A2 amendment. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
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 No. Division, Mr. Chair, please.
The motion does not prevail. A division has been called. A show of hands, all those in favor? All those opposed? There being four votes in favor, four opposed, the motion does not prevail.
About to vote?
I didn't vote.
Oh. Mr. Chairman?
As long as we're on
Mr.
the
page, Gill.
Could I bring up a technical amendment on page 93, line 14, the $25 should be $20.
Senator Berglund incorporates that into her A2 amendment. On which line?
93.14.
$20.
25 and insert 20.
I'd incorporate that into the A2
Senator
amendment.
Berglund incorporates that into her A2 amendment. On the A2 amendment, any other comments, questions, amendments of members? Seeing none, Senator Berglund renews her motion that the that we adopt the A2 amendment.
As amended.
As amended. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman, then I would move that Senate File 695, as amended, be recommended to pass to the Finance Committee.
Senator Berglund moves that Senate File 695, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the full Finance. All those in favor of that motion, aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails.
Members, thank you very much. This has been a really, really hard job this year. And I appreciate everybody's contribution. Everyone here has made a contribution, and I really want to say thank you.
There being no further business before this committee, it stands adjourned. Thank you.
You only added one rider, right? That one is it?
Yeah, I've got one that I have to add, too.
Okay.
I think
I haven't got language.